upon me. I've not seen me. In a long time.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, it's The Red Card with Casey Gibson right here on radio.dominican.edu. How's everybody doing out there? I'm doing good. I hope everybody else is doing pretty good as well. You know, it's been a good week. So far, it's been a little rainy here at San Rafael. Man, oh man, it's like we're all of a sudden into fall and summer's gone and everything. I just want to start off this show, though, right now and apologize to my listeners. Last week, I know I was supposed to be on last Thursday from 6 to 7, but I had a soccer game. That's right. I was at a soccer game in right here, actually, in San Rafael. I wasn't able to go because my loving parents came to the game and took me out to a lovely little dinner after the game. So I apologize for not being here. I'm sorry to those of you that are, you know, loyal and tuned in. I appreciate it. But I'm back now, and honestly, that's to me. I'm really excited to be back. It's been a good week, so I'm feeling good about this show. It's been a good day so far. I'm getting ready to leave for Hawaii. I'm getting ready to leave for Hawaii. I wish we were going to Hawaii this year for soccer, but we're not. We're going to Utah and Arizona. It's a little bit of irony in this whole Utah-Arizona trip because we did it my freshman year, and we didn't go last year. You know, they told us, well, my freshman year, we did Hawaii and Utah and Arizona, and they said that we were only going to go to Hawaii. Well, they said that we were only going to go to Hawaii every other year, and then in between, so you go to Hawaii every other year, and then you go to Utah, Arizona in the other years. Well, my freshman year, we did them all. We did Hawaii, and then we did Utah, Arizona. So it was a little weird to last year have only gone to Hawaii, even though we went for like a vacation, basically. We went for 10 days, you know, game every other day, practice every other day as well, on the off days that you have. And now we just got back a couple weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago now from SoCal, and now we're getting ready to head out on another road trip and head to Utah and Arizona. I'm excited, even though I have to get up at extremely an inconvenient hour tomorrow, which is for those of you that like know that I'm what I'm going through. Those are my teammates that are listening. Hopefully, a couple of them are. It stinks. I got to get up at, you know, 5-ish. Got to be at the Conlin Center, ready to go, get on that bus, and be down there at 5:15, and bags packed, and hopefully I didn't forget anything I have in the past, and that's been kind of a rough. You got to live. Well, since it's only a couple of days, it won't be that bad. But we leave Friday, obviously, and I still have to email my teachers. I know I've been super busy lately, so I'm gonna get on that tonight or after the show. I'm gonna email all my teachers. Stuart, if you're listening, that means you. So I'll tell you right now, Stu, I will not be in class tomorrow. I have an athletic event. I will be missing Friday, so I apologize on that. I know it's like my second time in class, but hey, both of them have been excused for soccer, so I'm sorry. Wow, it has been. Whew, dang. I've missed two classes already. Whew. But, you know, and the other thing that's crazy is midterms are right here. I've got so many teammates and friends that are just studying their booties off for midterms. I am so surprised on how fast everything has kind of gone by. Like, it's gone by super fast. It feels like just yesterday I was sitting, you know, waiting to come to Dominican a week early for soccer. And then I got here and, you know, 2 days went by like super fast. And I was sitting in my dorm room just going, man, when is school going to start? And now I'm sitting in my dorm room going, dang, where's all this time gone? So it's been a little crazy, if you ask me, and how fast. And honestly, a bunch of people have told me in the past that, the time, you think your freshman year goes by fast, but in reality, everything goes by fast. But I mean, and it's true. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for soccer. I'm excited for this show a lot, actually. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about. We got a little bit of some English Premier League to talk about, some La Liga. And then I'm going to bring something new to the show, which is UEFA Euro 2012 qualifying is happening this week. So there's a break in domestic leagues. And so for those of you that don't quite understand, is there's a difference between your domestic and then your country. So the domestic leagues are or your club level, domestic or club, is the teams you play for as if it was like your job. So like Manchester United, Chelsea, your English Premier League is all club level. Your La Liga, your Bundesliga, your Serie A in Italy, those are all club level or domestic level teams. Then you have your international teams, which are, you know, represent your country. And so there's no greater, I guess, accomplishment or greater feeling than, you know, being able to pull over that that international jersey or your country's jersey and represent your country. So and you know, that just brings up a lot of bickering and fighting, which I will get to in just a little bit, about the whole club managers and, you know, national managers. So it's for those professional athletes, it's nice because they're fighting over you, especially if you're the best of the best. You have a bunch of people wanting to see you play and wanting you to produce for their team, but at the same time, you got one manager that's focused on, you know, games every week, and the other one's kind of focused on games just here and there. So I mean, it's an interesting dilemma that a lot of these players are kind of faced with, even though it's not much of a dilemma. And it wouldn't be a dilemma if you asked me. You know, I'm all about playing for your country. If there's no greater honor than that. So if Jurgen Klinsmann's listening, hit me up. I'm ready to put on that USA jersey and represent this fine country. So on that note, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back and talk a little bit English Premier League. So yeah, so I'll get you out on this, and this is the Red Card on Thursday night from 6 to 7 with your host Gibson.
wasn't given to me. See, I'm so concerned with selfish ambition. I see what I want and look past what I need. A hefty fear for me to pay. Indifference takes control. I guess I'll keep that outside at bay.
To the Red Card on radio.dominican.edu with your host, me, Casey Gibson. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm hoping you guys are having a great Thursday. I'm having a good Thursday, as I mentioned earlier before the break, and I've kind of put my finger on why I'm having a great day. You know, practice today for soccer was very, very good. You know, since we are leaving here in a couple hours now that I guess I can say that, in about, oh, less than 11 or so, yeah, 11 or so hours. We'll be heading out for Utah and Arizona. And anyway, that's kind of beside the point. And I figured out why I'm having a good day. And it's because today in the mail, I received a jersey that I had, you know, bought. And it's a Manchester United jersey. And for those of you that don't know, even though I'm sure most of you do know, I'm a huge Manchester United fan. I just love the Red Devils. It kind of stems back to the days when David Beckham played and Van Nistelrooy, and oh man, just a bunch of great players have gone through that club. And so my heritage stems back to England, so that's always a key part. And you know, I always I always joke around with my friends and stuff and say, you know, I'm more of an English fan than I am an American fan. And there is a truth to that. When they played in the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, I was not going to lie. I may have been wearing the USA jersey underneath my England jersey, but there's no doubt I really wanted England to win a lot more than I wanted the United States to win. Granted, once they weren't playing each other, I was all about the United States and England. So maybe England a little more, but you know, I was happy with the United States, and unfortunately they weren't able to pull it off, but that's whatever. But I did get a brand new Manchester United jersey. It's their new jersey. It's the red one. It's long sleeves. It's got the crest on it, the Nike. It looks so fresh. And on the back, I put Ashley Young, which is the new 23-year-old. Garrett will be proud of me. 23-year-old English striker, or not English striker. He's an English left winger that they signed from Aston Villa and over the summer. And I think it's for... I don't remember what exactly the amount was that they signed him for, but it was definitely in the I think it was in the 10 million pounds range. So actually a little more than that, maybe 14, maybe 12 or 14, something like that. So it was a good signing, and so far he's doing a fantastic job. Now, that brings me to talking about this. Okay, so you know how everyone in the United States, and this is before I get into my leagues and everything, I've been talking about it with a bunch of people, and anyway, right currently, I'm some friends of mine, I may or may not be in it. If the NCAA is listening, I'm definitely not in it. They have the whole thing, this new thing that I'm trying this year is this fantasy Premier League. This Premier League fantasy team, and you know, just like fantasy football, like Americans are crazy about, it's the same kind of thing. It's a little different. You don't do a draft for your players. You just go, everybody can pick players. You pick whoever you want. You're given a specific amount of money, and it's 100 million pounds. Each person is worth a specific amount of money, and so you have to keep it under 100 million pounds, your entire team, and you have to field 11 players. And you have to have four subs, including a goalkeeper, a defender, a midfielder, and a striker. And you can create your own formation however you want to do it. And then for every week, they're awarded points, an amount of points. You also get a captain, and you can, you know, whoever you name captain gets twice as many points. So all the points that they earn in a week, it's times two. So you got to be kind of smart in how you do that and everything. So it's a little bit of like that. And the reason, I'm just bringing it up because it was this weekend and I was looking at it for like the second time. That's right. I did this. First of all, I'm not the biggest fan of fantasy. I've never done a fantasy football just because I feel like more people are so consumed in their fantasy team than they are if they really have a team that's in the NFL or a professional team of any sort. So I'm not the biggest fan of just following fantasy. I just don't like it. I'm more the fan that wants to go to the game or watch the team on TV and not worry about, oh, you know, this guy didn't give me any points, so I lost. Gosh darn it. And really get upset about it when, you know, more people are upset about their fantasy team losing than if their actual team that they support lost. And to me, that kind of takes away from the whole reason to have a team, to support a team. You know, in the NFL, seeing a decrease in the amount of fans that go to games, and especially after the lockout problem they had, even though they didn't have a lockout, is the same kind of thing. So, and I don't think you'll ever see that in England. So I think we're okay. I liked it the first like week that I did it. I was like checking, and I was like, oh, this player's not going to play, so okay, I'll sub him out and all this other, you know, stuff. But then I've just kind of lost it, and I'd much rather support my Manchester United Red Devils by watching them on TV or watching them online or something like that than looking at this fantasy thing. And you know, my roommate, Garrett, he's into the fantasy football. He's into this. He has one, or he may or may not have a fantasy soccer team, but you know, he's like, hey, if you're gonna do it, then like, you know, let me help you out. I'll do this for you, I'll do that. And it's only because apparently I'm doing really well. The people I picked or that I may have picked are doing fantastic. You know, they're getting points. And so apparently I'm leading the league, and I don't check very often. And, you know, if I do, that's if I have one, of course, theoretically speaking, if NCAA people are listening, I'm theoretically speaking here, okay? I don't check it. So, like, he's all about it. You know, he's like, oh, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll get you some of this, we'll get you some more money, we'll get you a better player, you'll get more points, blah, 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 blah. And then and I'm just like, sure, dude, like, that's cool. He's like, one day he's like, you'd be so much better if you did this. So let me trade this player for someone else. And I think I had it was a defender I had, and he didn't play very much, or if at all, for Liverpool. And so we traded him away, got money, and we bought someone that was getting a little more points, a little more playing time. And I didn't do anything. I was like, he's like, you should do this. I was like, all right, here's my password. Let me log in for you and you go for it. You know, I was like, okay, sir, sounds good. Let's go ahead. Do what you got to do. Anyway, I guess that's my rant for the day. I've just been thinking about it here and there, and I've been thinking about it since like we started this whole thing, but I just want to talk about it a little bit now. And so I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm weird like that, but I think that one of the reasons that fantasy works in the United States is because people are lazy and they're more likely to check something on their computer than they are to go to a game. And that's just the take I'm getting from it. I don't know if that's true or not. I would love to think that's not true, because that'd be very sad. And you know, another way that fantasy does is people can check stats like that. They don't have to go to ESPN and then find the game. They can just check their fantasy team roster and check stats. And so, I mean, there might be a plus to it. I'm just not sure. Just maybe it's just not for me. That could be. Anyway, speaking of the English Premier League and having that whole fantasy thing, let's get into the actual English Premier League talk. It's been so far so good. It's been a great season. I think so, at least, because my Manchester United team is at the top of the table, and I couldn't be more happy. Maybe I have a biased opinion. I don't think so, because that's just not who I am. Biased opinion. Manchester United all the way. That's not biased at all. Anyway, a big thing. And you know, Manchester United's at the top. Man City's there, and Chelsea's in the thick of it. And in fact, Liverpool's in fifth. You know, they're still there. And granted, we are what, 8-9? No, I think we're like 7 games into the season or something. You know, absolutely crazy like that. And people are already speaking about, oh, we're not in it. Our team doesn't have a chance to win the Premier League. And I'm sitting here going, you guys gotta be kidding me. We're 7 games into it. Manchester United has 19 points. Man City has 19 points. Chelsea has, I believe, 16 points. Newcastle has 15. Newcastle is in fourth. We'll get to talk about them a little later in just a second. And Liverpool is sitting there at 5 with 13 points. So they're still in the thick of things. Well, anyway, their star striker, I think he's their star. I mean, he's pretty good. Luis Suarez, the Uruguayan striker, came out and said that the league is out of reach. There's no way we can compete, or I'm not going to say compete, but there's no way we can catch United, City, or Chelsea. And they're too far ahead. And I'm sitting here going, really? Because, I mean, I am a fan of Manchester United and everything, but we're 7 games in to the season. Like, there's still, how many games is there? There's 18 times 2, that's what, 36? Yeah, there's 36 games left in this, 36, so there's 29 games left in the season, and you're already throwing it out there that your team's not going to compete? And I'm saying, I'm just baffled. I'm just like, that doesn't make any sense. You can't, I don't know, maybe, again, that's just me. It brings up a question on, is that the mentality that you want from a striker? or any player on your team? Because if it's me, you know, I'm one of those people that wants to win. So if I'm a coach or a manager, I want my players to win. Doesn't matter if we're in last place or if we're in first place or if we're in the middle of the table. I want my players to win. I want them to win so that we can be champions. And so it is 7 games in and thrown in the towel. What you want your strikers or players to be thinking? Now, he did go on to say in the article that he did believe the best chance for silverware came in cup competitions. So the FA Cup, the domestic cup, those sort of situations. Now, I might be crazy, but if the two teams that are at the top of the table are Manchester United and City with 19 points, and United's up there, is at the top with goal differential by 1, and Liverpool's in 5th with 13 points. 13 points, they're only technically 6 points back. And this early in the season, you can't be, you're still in it. I don't care who you are. At this point in the season, now if this is maybe, you know, the 30th game and there's six games left, and you're sitting there going, we're not going to catch them. All right, okay. Yeah, I could see that. I could see it thrown in the towel, but still being, you know, hey, we can maybe make someone that thinks they're going to win the title and lose it if we play them. You know, you can be that, not in essence, BCS buster, but you could be that EPL buster, you know. The top table, if you play the top team and they think they're going to win it and you beat them and then the other team. So I could see that. But at the fact that there's 7 games left just baffles me. I just can't believe they're thinking that right now in Liverpool. Now, this topic that I want to talk to you about now, and it's about another striker. And the captain of Aston Villa, Stylian Petrov, believes striker Gabriel Agbonlahor deserved to be discussed in the same breath as Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to bash on anybody because they're obviously professional soccer players and I'm a collegiate player, so they obviously must be doing something right. But I do know that Cristiano Ronaldo is mentioned in the same breath as Lionel Messi. And those two are the best soccer players, since we're in the United States, are the best soccer players in the world. Messi might have a little step on Ronaldo, and I know that's a debate for another night that we could probably have, I don't know, 20 fans in here and give their opinion, and it'd go on for days. But to say he's as good, if not better, Or mentioned in the same breath, excuse me, but I'm thinking they're saying, you know, he's just as good as Cristiano Ronaldo. That's questionable, because Cristiano Ronaldo, not only did when he played for Manchester United about 3 years ago, I think. Man, it's true. Time is going by. Now he plays for Real Madrid in La Liga in the Spanish Premier League. And when he played for United, he led the league in goals. Last year, he led the league in goals in all competitions. And so, Agbonlahor didn't lead the league last year in the Premier League. That was Carlos Tevez from Man City and Dimitar Berbatov from Manchester United. Both had led the league with 20 goals, which wasn't that many. No offense, but I mean, goals are hard to come by sometimes. There's no question about that. But to think he needs to be, you know, and I understand it's a captain, and as a captain, you want to prove to your players that you have their back and they've got yours and that whole thing. But to sometimes think that some of these captains or not even captains, but teammates say some of these things that just make you want to go, huh? Or, you know, the whole, what are you smoking, man? Or something like that. That to me is one of those times. I don't disagree with the fact that Agbonlahor is a bad player. I think he's a fantastic player, great striker, big striker, but I just don't see the comparison between Cristiano Ronaldo and him. I'm I, if 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 it's there, I guess, but I don't know. I don't know where Petrov is coming from with that. So I'll leave that up to him. If he wants to give me a call, that's right. You can give me a call here at rio.dominican.edu in the station or on the red card, which is, and the line is 415-482-3587. Now there might be, you know, some long distance charges to that, but I'm sure you can pay for it. You are a professional soccer player, because I won't pay for it because I have no money. I'm a poor college student. Anyway, I mentioned Carlos Tevez and being the, you know, tied for the most goals in the Premier League last year. And there's a lot going on with Carlos Tevez right now in at Man City. The first one being he refused to play. He refused to come in as a sub in their 2-0 defeat to Bayern Munich in the Champions League. That's right. He refused to come into the sub. Now, granted, there was 60 minutes left. There, it was in the 60th minute, so there's 30 minutes left in the game. At the time, they're down 2-0, yeah, okay. But there's still a chance to save this game. There's still a chance to score two goals. You are the co, you know, Premier League goals leader of last season. You are this striker that has proven himself over and over again. You proved it at United. You've proved it to Man City. You've stood behind Man City this entire time. But yet you refuse to go in just because you're not starting? Newsflash, my man. But you have a very talented group there at Man City. Probably the best in the Premier League on paper. Now, paper doesn't mean a whole lot. Until, you know, when you get on the pitch, that's who the best team is. That proves to you the best team. But come on. So you basically just turned your back on the entire team. You just had the chance to prove to your coach or your manager that you deserve to start. But yet you decided that, nah, I just don't want to go in. Now, when the media asked him about it, then that's what he said. A bunch of people said, or he insists that he was mistranslated, or his translator was mistranslated. But to me, that's absolutely ridiculous. I'm sorry, you've been in England for a long time, played at Aston Villa, and then Manchester United for a couple years, and now at Man City for a couple years. Learn English. That to me just shows what kind of football player or soccer player you're going to be. Is when you don't want to learn the culture or the language that is spoken where. In the country that is paying you money. To me, that shows a lot about his character. That just could be me. I don't know. But I'm just baffled at it. And regardless of whether he was mistranslated or whatever the whole thing going on in Man City, all I know is Mancini, the coach, manager, was infuriated. He said, he has no place here. I don't have an Italian accent, so I can't really do it. I'm pretty sure he's Italian. Yeah, he's Italian. I can't do it, but he says he has no future here at Manchester City. He's not on the team. He's not on my team. So that could be big. And to get into that, so they're basically kicking him off the team. Well, here's the thing. For the longest time, Tevez has wanted to go back to Argentina to be closest to his family and his kids and everything. Well, now they're in England, so I don't get this whole why isn't still in a bad attitude, bad mood kind of thing. But the soccer club Anzhi in Russia, the same club that just bought Eto and Roberto Carlos co-manages, are targeting both Tevez and Neymar. Tevez, obviously the striker from Argentina and Man City, but Neymar is this, I believe he's 18-year-old from Brazil, probably the next. He's the next best soccer player in the world. There's no question about it. He's suggested to move from to move in the transfer market for anywhere close to 80 million pounds or more. That's big. That's huge, especially in the game of soccer, in the sport of soccer. And it could be more than that. Whatever he goes for, I'm sure it'll be for a record deal. There's no question in my mind he's that good of a soccer player. Anyway, so they're targeting them. Now, it's I'm sure this team could get Tevez, since Tevez has kind of burned his bridges, but I'm not sure if they're going to be able to pay for Neymar. They just bought Eto'o. They're paying Eto'o the most any football player is being paid in the world. He's now the highest paid player. So that could be a little questionable. And then you have Neymar, and Neymar's been tipped with a move to Real Madrid. So that's questionable. We'll see if that happens. And after this whole thing, Mancini, the manager for Man City, is just outraged with everything that has happened so far, he's been dealing with Tevez. So for those of you, I would look out for that. And I don't know how much longer Tevez will be with City. And what makes it great is Manchester, when he left Manchester United and went to City, they had this billboard and it said, "Welcome to Manchester, Carlos Tevez." Well, now there's this whole plot that United fans have bought this billboard and have "Welcome to Carlos Tevez, Manchester." And so, you know, they'll play on it. And yeah, so it's just right now, Carlos Tevez is not having a good time. Let's just put it that way. But another person that might not be having a great time is Wayne Rooney's father. That's right, Wayne Rooney Sr. and his uncle were arrested along with a Motherwell midfielder, for supposedly along with 9 other people, supposedly being part of a football betting scam. Now, this brings up a good point. I don't really get why you would even... Now, they denied any part of it, but why would you have a football betting scam when your son is one of the greatest soccer players in the world? And not only that, in England. And he's making millions of dollars. Why on earth would you have to come anywhere close to having a betting scam? Now, there's some. I was reading the Dirty Tackle today, which for those of you is a sports soccer blog. That's fantastic. I love it. And they were talking about how they were joking around, obviously, and they're like, well, maybe it's to pay for the hair transplants because they're both kind of balding. So maybe that's why he's having to do it. The other joke was he has to pay for his son's prostitutes because there's a big prostitute scandal with Wayne Rooney a couple months ago. That has kind of gone quiet. Doesn't really surprise me. The police aren't really releasing anything. They said they've investigated it, and they've all been bailed out, obviously. I mean, so I guess we just have to wait and see exactly what's going on. Anyway, back going to Chelsea. Chelsea is unsure of new stadium deal going on. So, I mean, we'll see about that and how that kind of affects anything at all, and if they're gonna leave where they're at right now at Stamford Bridge, I'm not sure if that's actually gonna happen, or if they're gonna get this new field built, because Stamford Bridge holds about 45,000, and the new stadium they want holds about 60,000. So there's lots of questions being asked. And they kind of have to buy back some of the land that they gave up, and they gave it up to fans, but they're not sure if the fans aren't sure if they want to give it back. So, which doesn't make any sense to me. If you're a fan, you'd want this team to do the best that they can be. Whatever. It's Chelsea for you. If you're Chelsea fans, please don't hate on me. Arteta claims to have missed his have taken a medical before signing for Arsenal, which is very shaky for Arsenal. I mean, the deal did happen on deadline day in the last couple of hours of the and they were just, I guess there was a lot going on. At one point they said the deal wasn't going to happen. And then the next, with like an hour left, they said it was the deal was back on. And so they just both agreed, I guess both sides agreed that, hey, we'll skip a medical. I guess Arteta said if there's any physical questions, that it's on him, not on the club. And so I guess they just kind of based their faith into it. Another striker slash midfielder, Vander Vaart. The prolific Dutch striker is here and he's talking to he's talking about how Harry Redknapp, the manager for Tottenham, hasn't been playing him at striker or at a central role. He's been playing him out wide, and he doesn't really like that. So we'll see if that changes, or if that anything kind of happens with that. Also, Rio Ferdinand has been tipped with a move to the MLS. Rio says he denies that. He says he wants to stay with Manchester United in England, and that he won't go to the MLS, won't come to America after, like his good friend David Beckham did. He wants to stay in Manchester United. He wants to stay at Manchester United for another 2 years and then possibly retire. So I guess that we'll see if that happens. Breck Shea, the prolific striker for FC Dallas, has been tipped with a move to either United, City, or Chelsea. That's up in the sky right now. When we get more information, I will be sure to let you guys know about that. Everton's Jack Rodwell, he won his appeal for his red card that he received on a tackle of Luis Suarez of Liverpool, and the tackle wasn't dangerous. He won the ball, was given a straight red. I think it was a little embellished by Suarez, could have won an Oscar. So that's good. I'm glad for Jack Rodwell because he didn't really deserve it. And after watching it, I'm glad he got it appealed and he won the case and everything. So now I want to kind of switch over to something new. It's the UEFA 2012 qualifying. We got there won't be any club level games this weekend. It'll all be national teams at the national level. The first game I want to talk about is Netherlands versus Moldova. Netherlands is atop their group by 6 points. This is the second to last group. They're basically in. It's Netherlands. I'm not too worried about them right now. They're the silver medal winners in the World Cup, which in 2010 when Spain beat them 1-0. Yeah, so I don't have a really problem with them. I wonder if we're going to see a Spain-Netherlands rematch in the Euro 2012. I'm not sure. We'll see. Another game is Turkey versus Germany. Germany is atop their group by 10 points. They've already basically clinched their way. They have clinched an advance out of the group. Turkey's in second with 14 points. They need points to have a chance to get through. They're only up a couple points, so they need a result against Germany. Not sure they're going to get it. Germany's just really good right now. They have a lot of great talent on that team. That to me is a great team that I think was going to challenge for the Euro belt. They challenged 4 years ago against Spain, who won the Euro in 2008, the Europe Cup in 2008. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. I think they're a very good team. I think they have a chance to clinch it. Spain versus Czech Republic. Spain is atop the group by 8 points after 6 games played. They play 2 more games. The Czechs are in second with 10 points. So, I think Spain's in. Czechs, they have a good chance. They're a very good team. I think they will also move through. Italy is atop the in the Serbia-Italy game. Italy is atop the group by 8 points. Serbia is in second place of the group by 1 point. They need points and they need a result against a very, very good Italy team, a team that's kind of turned around their luck as of late. Wales versus Switzerland. Switzerland is in third by 3 points with Montenegro. With Montenegro loss and a win, they could jump to second. Wales, on the other hand, is in last. There's no way for them to advance. They're kind of just playing for respect and maybe busting someone's dreams. That's very possible at this point. The game I'm excited to watch this weekend. These games are all tomorrow. If you want to watch them, I would suggest go online, try and find them. They're going to be good games. The one I want to watch is England Montenegro. England's atop the group by 6 points. Win gets them through. Montenegro is in second, needs a result to close gap with England and to stave off the Swiss. The Swiss are coming up strong in third place. England hope to get the result away from Wembley. There's been a lot of talk of Wembley's kind of bad luck for England. All they can do is draw or lose there. They haven't really produced there. And one of the midfielders for England, James Milner, says they're not distracted when playing away from England, and there's no hold up of their skills when they play at Wembley. So I'm interested to see that and how they do away from home. Portugal-Iceland. Portugal's on top by goal differential, tied with Denmark and Norway at 13 points. Iceland can advance in fourth with 4 points. They're kind of out of it. So again, their role is to maybe bust someone, maybe open up that gap for Denmark, Norway, if they beat Portugal. It's all basically a guessing game right now. Slovakia and Russia is the last game, and Russia's atop with 17 points. Ireland, which is to me a great team, I feel like they should have been in the World Cup. They deserve to. Thierry Henry's famous handball when they played in the playoff. That's old news. We can't live in the past. Ireland's in second with 15 points. There's two more rounds, including this round, to go. So there's two rounds left. Slovakia is tied for third with 14 points. Group is still open. This group is probably the closest of all the groups. And Slovakia needs points and a result, and they could jump up into second. They're there. Everything right now is up for grabs. So what I want to do real quick is to finish up this wonderful show that you've all tuned in for is a little bit of Dominican soccer. Right now, the men are currently on a 2-game win streak. We beat Chaminade 1-0, and then we beat a Cal Maritime team 4-1. So right now we're kind of turning the ship around from a rough start. Now we're full steam ahead. The women lost to San Jose State on Tuesday. It was a great game. I went to it. Fantastic. I was absolutely having a great time. In the first half, Dominican outplayed San Jose State, no question. They were down 1-0 at halftime, and then the second half, San Jose State kind of just took it to them. But there's no question that we outplayed them in the first half. And San Jose State's a good team. They have a lot of good athletes. The women romped Chaminade 5-1. It was a great game. I believe Tori Salacia, the outstanding right midfield, the sophomore, had two goals. She had a brace and an assist. So, you know, big kudos for her. And then, like I said at the beginning of the show, both teams traveled to Arizona and Utah this weekend for two games against Dixie State and Grand Canyon University. So far, we're right where we want to be for the season, and we're only looking to get better. So on that note, I will say goodbye, and thank you for listening to The Red Car. This is Casey Gibson on radio.dominican.edu. Night.